This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Dropper for some, or is it? There's a NAFTA deal. How about that? The tariffs work for President Donald Trump. In the meantime, he's asked about Judge Kavanaugh and what happens moving forward when he's celebrating the NAFTA deal. Reporters question him about that. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So, as you can imagine, there's more snowball fighting going on over Kavanaugh and whether or not he'll be confirmed and when there is going to be that vote. Mitch McConnell is saying there is going to be a vote. It's going to be on Friday, maybe even before Friday, depending on this FBI investigation and when that all wraps up. Dianne Feinstein is feeling the heat, and she is tacking back at people who are going after her. So she is hitting back. She insists that she and her staff did not leak a letter detailing the first assault allegation against the Supreme Court nominee. She's saying that President Trump and Senate Republicans are trying to deflect attention from Brett Kavanaugh's sexual assault allegations by saying my staff or I leaked that letter from Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. They're wrong. She said, look, this comes on the heels of Republican Senator Tom Cotton telling Face the Nation over the weekend on CBS that Feinstein and her staff are going to face an investigation for why they leaked that. Cotton didn't say who would investigate her or what he based his accusation on. Feinstein said she was honored that Dr. Ford's request would be confidential. She honored it because that's what she wanted. She said it was only when reporters were knocking on the door that I referred the letter to the FBI. At no point did I or anyone else on my staff divulge Dr. Ford's name to the press. She knows that and believes it, for which I'm grateful. So, remember, it was first reported on September 12th, and then the next day, September 13th, Democrats announced that they had referred the letter to the FBI. At this point, it doesn't matter. It's about moving forward. What does the Senate decide to do? You have Jeff Flake, who's flaking out from his role in the Senate anyway, saying he feels like he doesn't have a party anymore. You have Brett Kavanaugh saying he's not going to return to teach at Harvard Law School next semester. And you have this nomination hanging in the balance as to whether or not he gets approved, or, you know what, there's a list of other judges and does somebody else jump forward. But Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader, says that the endless delay, the obstruction, has come to a close, and the nomination is out of committee. We're considering it on the floor. We'll be voting this week. He pledges the Senate will vote on the nomination, and Republicans do hold that 51-49 majority, they can lose one Republican senator before they need help from the Democrats to confirm him. No Democrats have said if they would support him. Senators Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are undecided. Senator Jeff Flake said he would support Kavanaugh even over the weekend. He said that unless the FBI finds something in its investigation. So that's where it sits right now. And, you know, we got a couple of days, and then we'll move from there, and then we'll have a better indication, obviously, whether there's going to be a vote or not, period. Then you have one of the Kavanaugh accusers speaking out on MSNBC and said he was a mean drunk, he was handsy with girls. Julie Swetnick did a television interview and said that. In an interview, she called him a liar for dismissing her allegations against him in a sworn statement signed under penalty of perjury released last week through her attorney, Michael Avenatti. Swetnick alleged Kavanaugh preyed on young women. In Monday's interview, she did not accuse Kavanaugh, though, of assaulting her. So like I said, that's where we stand on that. In the meantime, what really is wild, and I shouldn't say wild because it looked like it was happening. It looked like it was leaning this way, and it did. But the NAFTA deal is a big deal. I mean, this is, for Trump, a revamped NAFTA is big. It is. And stocks went soaring after the U.S.-Canada-Mexico deal. I mean, I don't care what you label yourself as. A deal is a deal, and this deal is actually got some good merit to it. It helps workers because you can't get paid less than $16 an hour. And the other part, and the Dow flew. I mean, it flew 193 points. The S&P gained a little bit. The NASDAQ lost a tad, but not much. So, you know, this is trade. And what does it mean? It means that it avoids some of those high tariffs. And it also means that people that are in the situation where they're working in Mexico, for example, and I mentioned this, that, you know, they'd have to be paid $16 an hour. They couldn't be paid less than that. That would be the agreement between all three. So this deal really kind of lands in a good place for many people who find themselves in those situations, in those jobs. And it also helps the situation with what we're talking about with tariffs, et cetera, that were looking pretty bad and was strangling a lot of people. So on the money line, I'm going to call it the money line, the optics on this, the money line on this is pretty big. And it is one of the things that Donald Trump said he would do when he was president. He said that he would change that. He talked a lot about NAFTA, if you remember, especially, I think, a little bit more in the beginning. So while that unfolds, the rest of what's going on with the Supreme Court nomination does, and then there's other odds and ends that are popping all over the place and getting a lot of attention. And when I say that, I mean, you know, China, and talking about a Chinese warship that came within 135 feet of the USS Decatur. That's not good. We're still having problems with China and the economic swing there, and the tariffs that have been imposed, and how that's affecting imports, exports, for sure. And then while that's happening, it's a Gallup poll that is just released. It's interesting. They did a Gallup poll on Hillary Clinton, who did not become president. Just happened to read this, and it showed the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's favorability with U.S. adults is unchanged from last November. Record low, 36%. Usually trends show that a person that loses like that would become more popular, not less. But it showed that, what happened with her ratings, that she lost in the 2 years since she lost the presidential contest, it's her favorable rating is down 7 percentage points from where it was on the eve of the election. Isn't that interesting? Because she's not on the world stage anymore, not really. Occasionally commenting, but not very much. All right, hang with us. More coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Have you ever wondered as you gazed up at the sky, watching stars like diamonds shining there on high, that somehow in that great unknown not alone. Around that little world of yours, spinning off in space, there are many other worlds.
Oh, my, oh, my. Sometimes I feel like I am spinning off in space. How about the rest of you? America Tonight, Kate Delaney. What a way to kick off this week. And, you know, actually, it's funny. And maybe it's not funny. They talk about the whole idea of how we feel more lonely these days than ever because of what happens with social media and the phones, etc. So we're not connecting as much with each other. I was at a restaurant a couple days ago where there's a big sign, if you have a phone and you're going to look at it the whole time, don't bother coming in. It's like, wow, they must have enough business that they don't care if people want to come in with their phones and don't come in here. And one way I thought it was kind of cool. I'm sure other people thought it was whacked and they turned around and said, yeah, you know what? I'm not going in here. So forget about it, right? This is not happening. I'm going to kind of zig and zag in a few different directions. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I said this before, but there's so much that always happens that we never get to. Some of it is funny, some of it is serious, but there's a ton of stuff to talk about. Has this ever happened to you where you've been on a highway and you're backed up and it's not an accident? You're thinking, what are people doing? I mean, is there something, there must be an accident. What is it? And I can't tell you, since I moved to the South and I've lived all over the country, how many times I've been somewhere to only find out that livestock was the reason why we were stuck in traffic. And I was reading a story about dozens of cows roaming free on the interstates in Atlanta. A tractor trailer that was hauling them overturned. So there was a 16-hour roundup of these two metro counties. There was 89 cabs from Florida to Northwest Georgia, easy for me to say, when it tipped over on 285, which is huge, at the I-75 interchange in Cobb County. Some of the animals were trapped in the truck, but dozens of others spilled onto the interstate. So they started, what do you do when you're a cow and you're free? You start to walk, of course. So you would see, you saw these pictures of cows in the street. It was the craziest thing. And of course, traffic is pretty bad. And we're talking in the morning, lanes were shut down and they started to reopen. Maybe by 6:30 or so, all the lanes were cleared, but the ramp wasn't, one of the major ramps wasn't open until 1:30. The good news is the driver was taken to the hospital and they think he's going to be okay, but I have been on a highway where something spilled out onto the highway and it was cattle and it backed everything up and I had no idea what it was and everybody was, you know, all of a sudden you see an animal making its way towards your car and it's just the craziest thing. But of course it happens, whatever they're hauling, and if you flip, then whatever happens to be in gets spilled out. This is a crazy story and one that I wonder when pins get stuck in bowling alleys. I hadn't been bowling forever until my nephew came to visit me and we took him bowling, and that was months and months ago. But we had problems resetting the machine. So the owner of a Southern California bowling alley died after getting stuck in a pin-setting machine. They say this is a place about 100 miles southwest of Denver. They say he responded to a call. They responded to a call, and they found 65-year-old Hector Rodriguez stuck in the machine at Fremont Lanes. He was unconscious, not breathing, so somehow that happened. Who knew? They say it's not foul play, but the machine must have killed him. And you just, I don't know, you don't think of that. It seems like it's coming out, you know, slowly grabbing the pins, but whatever had happened, it happened. And what a crazy, sad story is that. I'm not surprised by this. You know, we do that thing with Kate's Kibbles, which, by the way, that food is great. Mahalo loves it, and it's healthy because that's when you start to learn more about dogs. I think, well, didn't they just used to eat whatever? But the more you talk to these veterinarians, no. So that's why I got healthier food, and Kate's Kibble is great. You go to kateskibble.com and check it out if you've got a dog, because I seriously jumped on this because of that. So trust me, I order my dog food. There's a new study came out that showed that dogs might be become more anxious and possibly suffer from more depression when their owners overuse their smartphones. The United Kingdom-based study focuses on how welcoming a pet, specifically a dog, could help people suffering from mental health issues. They learned that dogs could suffer from the depression when their human handlers ignored them. And a Philly veterinarian, of course, Dr. Collada, said he saw the effects of smartphone usage on pets. That dogs are good at reading our subtle cues. They read the body language. That makes sense. They read the facial expressions. If you're on the phone, you're disinterested. They want attention, and they're not getting attention because you're focused on the phone. And I've seen that, actually, with Mahalo, who gets frustrated because he doesn't get his attention. He's not... He likes attention, but I think the whole phone thing gets on his nerves. And actually, and of course, you know, the phone is a work tool, and I'm, you know, 50-50 about it. But I was just recently, I had the phone, maybe a couple weeks ago, I had a phone. I was texting, I think, my nephew and somebody else, and he wanted attention. He came up and he knocked the phone out of my hand. So if it's a smart dog, maybe it'll do that to you. One thing that would never happen with my Mahalo is he would not be on an airplane. The FAA rules on airplanes, seat size, they're saying, because remember there's this big hubbub about these seats and the size, but they're saying that it might not create more legroom or any of that flyers and say they're cramped. There's a bill that's going to regulate minimum seat size on passenger planes, and they took it up on Monday. It's, you know, because this reauthorization bill, the FAA reauthorization bill, funds the agency for 5 years and sets other travel measures. So they say current rules say airlines must be able to evacuate passengers within 90 seconds of an emergency, but they don't set specific requirements or on seat size or the space between other seats. If passed, it would require minimum standard based on a safety review. Isn't that interesting? So you wonder, they say Frontier Airlines is the tightest, 28 inches. The average for economy seats is 31 inches. And currently seat pitch, the distance from one seat back to the next seat on low-cost carriers is what I said is the tightest. But it seems tight to me no matter where you are, right? It depends on how much stuff the people around you have. It depends on what kind of a lot of different factors, I think. But I guess the actual pitch, like I said, between the seats, that's one thing. I'll tell you a funny story. One time, and this was years and years ago, I was on a plane. It was packed. It was a holiday plane going back to Philadelphia from Dallas and stopping in Chicago O'Hare. And in getting to O'Hare, because that's going to be a crazy scene there, and then it was picking up people and jamming on it. It's a smooth flight until the guy next to me was talking to me a little bit, and the guy in front of me let his seat go back, and his seat just flew back. I mean, it was just bad. He was, like, practically in my lap. And the guy sitting next to me didn't like it, and he said, "Excuse me, I think you need to put your seat up." And he said, "No, this is what you do. You put your seat back." And he took a hardcover book. I had like a hardcover book. He took the book out of my hands and he hit the guy on the head. And I thought, oh, after 9/11, you don't do that stuff, right? Because they're going to land the plane and none of us are going to get back. There's going to be no Christmas, let alone a white Christmas, if you do that. And it was pretty freaky. But luckily, we got it under control and they did not do that, because I was really, really thought that's what we were going to say, that was going to happen, that we were going to end up landing this plane somewhere. So I don't know. There is something about space. We like our space. And we don't get that much space on the plane. That is very, very true. Music means I got to ditch out of here, get off the dance floor, and we'll dance over to the other side. Thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
I want it to be comprehensive. I actually think it's a good thing for Judge Kavanaugh. Now, with that being said, I'd like it to go quickly.
President Trump speaking with reporters at the White House about the FBI's investigation into his Supreme Court nominee's background.
Let the Senate decide. Whatever they want to do is okay with me. and also the FBI.
This is the seventh investigation into Brett Kavanaugh, who's a federal judge and has gone through this process six times before.
This is our seventh investigation of a man who has really, you know, you look at his life until this happened. What a change he's gone through.
The president also expressing his concern for Brett Kavanaugh's family.
What his wife is going through, what his beautiful children are going through, is not describable. It's not describable. It's not fair.
This is USA Radio News.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Ingrid Kern. She's written a book called Taming the Monster Within. And I think this book, in fact, I know this book, is going to have a tremendous impact on so many people. And honestly, after my conversations that I've had off the air with Ingrid, I think it's going to help so many people who honestly have had a hard time really grappling with something that's been in their past that hasn't allowed them to really free themselves up. And when we talk, you'll understand what I mean. So, Ingrid, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Good morning. Thank you so very much for having me.
So let's talk about, get right into it, the meat of the book. Tell everyone what the book is about.
The book is called Triumph, Taming the Monster Within. And it is about me running in the Senior Olympics, the 100 meters, after not running for 49 years, and the story behind it, why I didn't run and what happened. When I was 16 and I lived in Austria, in Vienna, I was supposed to be submitted to the preliminary tryouts for the Olympics in Rome to run the 100 meters, to do the shot put and the long jump, and my father said, absolutely not. And that was it. I was not even allowed to go to the track. And I wasn't even thinking about anything running. Forget it. It was out of my mind until I came to Los Angeles. And at the Austrian American Council West, I met this older woman. And I was sitting next to her. And I said, so what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm retired. I said, well, I know, but what are you doing with your time? She said, oh, I'm participating in the Senior Olympics. I said, what? There is a Senior Olympics? I had no idea. And so I immediately subscribed to the magazines and I was excited. And it took me another 3 years until I was mentally and emotionally ready to tackle that. And at the time, I had a lady from Canada in the building I managed, and she was a 1500 meter runner. And I talked to her and she said, I'm coaching you. Of course, I'm coaching you. And that's how we started. In 2007, I started preparing myself. And little did I know that you just don't go on the track and run. That was not it, like I did when I was 16. Oh, my goodness. I was hurting here and hurting there, and I lost a toenail, and I was bleeding, and I was, oh, my gosh. I only wanted to go on the track. And she said, nope, preparation, core training. And I'm like, what's that? And all this training, and boy, did I suffer.
Wow.
But I was determined. I absolutely was determined to participate.
And I love where you started us on this journey, in this conversation, talking about your father saying no, because that's part of the reason that you wrote the book. I mean, what overall made you write the book, and how did it help you tame your monster?
I am coming from an abusive childhood, starting at age 3. When my father first came from the war, and the first day he saw me, he said, you come to me. And I said, no, I'm glued to the floor. I didn't know the man. I had no idea who he was. And he, after a few minutes or whatever it took, he picked me up from that corner and he put me over his knees and he smacked me, spanked me, hit me, and that was my relationship with my father for 14 and a half years until he died. And when he died, I didn't know that I had a problem until after my second divorce when I was 47. And I started working on myself, and stuff came up, and I haven't thought about it. It was tremendous. And I first learned to understand why I am who I am, why I'm reacting the way I'm reacting to people, why I was always on the defensive, always protecting myself, always thinking that people attack me. And when a confrontation came, I was freezing. I was freezing up, and I didn't know what to do because I was waiting for the next blow. It was terrible. And the journey was horrific for me. That was even before I started training. The training made me connect to the physical pain, because before I only was connecting to the mental, emotional, and psychological pain. And the physical pain was the last part, I believe. And that was terrible. That was really terrible because it brought me to a place where I never wanted to go back. Looking back, would I do it again? Absolutely, because it finally made me become who I am supposed to be.
Wow, I love that. It's finally made you become who you're supposed to be. And what do you hope people out there, and I said this in the beginning, I think your book will help so many people. What do you hope people take away from this? Because you share your private pain, how you came out of it, and you said it. You've got the word triumph in it, triumph, taming the monster within. I think, Ingrid, and I believe you think so too, there are a lot of people that have monsters within. It's not their fault, but they're carrying this around their whole life.
I truly believe in my heart that the monster is fear. Fear of anything, not being good enough, too tall, too small, too heavy, too thin, too old, too young. It's fear. We all have fear of something. It is just that when we are taming the monster, the childhood will stay with anybody until the rest of our lives. It is just that we are learning to deal with it and have like a little puppy next to you or a little teddy bear and say, okay, now shut up, be quiet, okay? I know you're coming up and you know you're testing me, but this is it, okay? And am I being challenged? You bet. There is a situation here or there where I said, whoops, but now I can make a joke about it. I can laugh about it and I know what it is and I can walk away if it is really a big challenge. You know, I don't have to stand there and have to listen to what people say to me in a way that it's not nice. What I hope that people are taking away from is getting help, because I didn't get help until it was really at the point where I said, I can't deal with this on my own, because I was always on my own in a way and I always dealt with it on my own, but that was, no, I need help. Oh, please, dear God, help me. So don't wait until it is so late. I'm 75. Get it right away. You know, you don't have to tell anybody, but get help.
Wow. So, so well said. And pick up the book, Triumph, Taming the Monster Within. What's next for you? Do you have a sequel planned?
Well, this is actually the sequel to What's Your Monster's Name, where I interviewed a lot of people, letting them tell me how to apply a life skill to go through difficult situations. And that was tremendous. That was, I originally only wanted to interview women because I'm a woman. And the first person I interviewed was a real estate agent in my office, a man who went through a divorce. And that opened up a completely different point of view on situations, because I looked at problems, because every time I was confronted with something, it was a problem for me. Men tend to look at the situation, say, okay, what do I have to do? And then take actions. Where I was confronted with a situation, and I froze and I didn't do anything. So now I take action, and that's fabulous. You know,
it is.
So my next book is something totally, absolutely funny, hilarious, because this is who I am. You know, I'm trying to make people laugh, because we all go through life the same way. We have to work. We have to earn a living. We have situations, and once in a while, you need to laugh.
I so agree with that. Ingrid, we have less than a minute left, but you can't leave us hanging. How did you do in the Senior Olympics?
The first competition, I got a bronze. I came in the next year. I came in sixth in the nationals. Then in California, the third year, I got a silver. That was my best time. 16.8 seconds. And then the last competition in Dallas, Texas, I tore my hamstring in the middle of the race. And interestingly enough, I heard my father's voice on my right shoulder, because I thought I cannot continue. And I heard him saying, run, just run. So I competed. And I ran to the end, and I finished seventh with a torn hamstring. And I'm like, yay, 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 I did it.
Wow. Well, it's such a delight to have you on this show. You're so encouraging, inspiring, and everything else in between. Pick up this book, Triumph, Taming the Monster Within. You can get it on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. Ingrid, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. It was a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so very much.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal,
will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Winter months, and I know a lot of people listening in the Northeast, especially in New York, in Maine, and so many of our other great affiliates up there, like 1590 WSMN, which really rocks, and you know all the snow that you get up there in New Hampshire and in Maine, by the way, and even in Jersey, where I'm from. It's crazy what we saw last winter. Who knows what this winter is going to be like? The first thing people start to think about is heating. Oh, heating, heating bills. What do I do? Heating escaping. What about a way to conserve? What should I do with my house? I mean, there's a zillion questions that surround that. Tony Joyce is in our virtual green room. It's not heated. He's from Joyce Heating right there in New Hampshire, and he joins us now. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how's it going today? It was 27 degrees here this morning, so winter is fast approaching.
27 degrees. So when you start to see the temperatures dip, too, does your phone ring off the hook a lot more?
yesterday, I think we fielded probably 200 phone calls.
Oh.
On a normal day, maybe 50 or 60. So everything we do preseason is in. We do the summer and winter. You know, hey, call, you know, check your system, you know, do whatever you have to do. But it's endless, you know, and nobody thinks about it. You know, who thinks about it on an August day, you know, turning their heat on? But, oh, yeah. No, the phones rang yesterday.
When you say check your system, it's because people turn it on and it's like, whoa, it's not working. Something's going on.
Well, you know, we're all these, you know, we talked briefly, you know, about New Englanders and how weird we are. You know, we're all so cheap up here that, you know, nobody wants to even turn it on for 10 seconds in September to see if it works. So they have to wait until it's 27 degrees and the house is 50, and then it dawns on them it's not working. You know, we're afraid to waste 8 cents worth of gas or oil just to try it.
Oh, that's hilarious. So what are some things that people can do? I mean, even around the country, because, you know, this is nationally syndicated. So there's people listening in your backyard, literally, but there's people listening all over the place. What are things that people can do? You just gave us one tip. You might turn it on before we get to that point. So that's a brilliant thing to do. But what else can people do to be more aware instead of waiting?
You know what's funny about the rest of the world in New England? Everybody needs heat. We just need it up here and, you know, in the Northeast and the Northwest a little sooner.
Yeah.
But the simple things are, A, check it out. Try it before you do it. B, there's, if you have hot air, which most of the country has except up here in New England, we have things called boilers. Check the filter or change the filter. Even if it doesn't look dirty, change the filter. Get in a program where you do it, say, quarterly or twice a year and make sure that's clean. If you've got heat pumps, which a lot of people in the country have, make sure that there's no leaves on it. Make sure that that's clear. Just basically the mechanical stuff. And for all my competitors slash allies out there, have it checked at least once a year, once every other year by a qualified contractor. We're not all crooks like they show us on TV. Some of us are honest, and we can see the things that are going to break before they break. And that's kind of the key, is it's just awareness. You know, we spend all this money on our cars, and we spend all this money checking these other things out, and the heating systems just sit there in the basement or in the attic or in the closet, just being ignored, you know?
Like everything else, it's a question of forcing yourself, and it doesn't have to be painful, to pay attention to what's happening instead of waiting until the last second. So last year when you had so much snow, I can only imagine it had to have been crazy for you. Were you running around all over the place and operating on Red Bull and coffee?
You know, it was funny because it was so bad up here that we couldn't run around because we couldn't get from point A to point B.
Oh.
You know, I was born and brought up, you know, as a matter of fact, my office is 100 yards from where I grew up. And everybody that grew up anywhere there was snow, they said, oh, I remember more snow as a kid because you were 2 feet tall and the snow piles were 6 feet. Everything's relative. Well, I never remember this much snow. I mean, we had snow piles so high that you would just come up to an intersection, you'd inch your nose out because you couldn't see around it, and you just hopefully the guy coming the other way saw what you were doing. I mean, we had just roofs caving in and snow up to windows and bulkheads. I mean, people's backyards that you couldn't even get to, and somebody's furnace would be bad. I drove around with a snowblower in the back of my truck most of the winter just trying to snowblow so we could get people heat. It changed everything. I mean, the way we look at stuff, we had that much snow. I mean, look at Buffalo. What, they get 8 feet of snow in October or something?
Yeah. Crazy. You know? Absolutely. That's great that you went around with a snowblower. How do you, as a businessman, how do you know, and I guess it's the same thing, you look yearly what happens, but more people come into certain communities. How do you decide what you need for your supplies?
Well, we're fortunate that we have a pretty good sized warehouse and we have some good suppliers. And am I allowed to mention brands? You know, on
yeah,
the radio?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like we use a lot of Lennox, which is a good product. We use called the Mitsubishi, one of those ductless units that mount on the wall. You know, we're using a lot of those up here. The Rinnai water heater. So we stock quite a bit of the products that we need, and you know, they are readily available. You know, I've had Joyce Cooling for 20 years. I've been in the business for 42. So you just basically start to know just instinctively what you're going to need and where you're going to need it and how you're going to need it. And you know, back a few years ago, you know, the economy was pretty lousy up here, so there was plenty of help. Now it's starting to catch up, so we're having some trouble finding people. So we just do the best we can, but it's just instinctive. You know, even doing something that long, you just, you know, I don't want to sound like you just know what you need. It's just, it's the same every year. You know, it all happens within a week or two of each other. You know, we look back on records and sales and what we've done, and it all follows. It's funny.
You know, we do a thing, and you're part of this called It's Your Business. So for 42 years, you've been in the business, but then you've had your own business for 20. What was it like when you made the leap to your own business?
You know, it was almost a burnout thing. It was just I was just sick and tired of running around. And, you know, I was fairly successful. And I said to my wife, I said, that's it. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to work all by myself, out of the house. And you know, we're never going to be rich. We're never going to get anything. And that worked for about 5 years. And then eventually the company grew. And we've got 20 people now and still not rich. But, you know, it just grew. I have a business background, so it wasn't as bad for me as it is for a lot of contractors, and I feel bad for contractors who are just artists. I mean, they're just masters at their trade, and they have such, you know, just running their businesses is the hard part for them.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with that. And there's so many good contractors out there, but the business side of it can be really tough because they're not schooled in that, and it's like the school of hard knocks. Don't you think you kind of have to feel your way around it?
Oh, you do, and I was lucky that, and if I can give another plug for there was something called SCORE, which was the Retired Executive Society, and it's put on by the Small Business Administration, and that was a big help. And the thing about it is, you got to know how to run a business to be in a business. And these people from SCORE, they made me do business planning and, you know, profit and loss, you know, projections, and just get an idea of you know, you can't just have, you know, and I used to laugh at the, you know, accounts payable account is in the left pocket and accounts receivables in the right pocket. And, you know, at the end of the day, whatever's left over is yours. And, you know, and that's how people ran businesses, you know, a long time ago. It doesn't work that way anymore, you know. But
yeah,
no,
I love that cash business. That's hilarious. But it goes in one pocket, and then that's the rest. I got to pay the bills out of that.
You know, and I mean, if you could get away with it years ago. Now it's, you know, between, you know, making sure that you're meeting the government and their licensing, and I mean, it's hard to run a business. And I feel bad for some. Like I said, there are some friends of mine that are just wonderful contractors. I mean, they're just masters at the trades, and they have a hard time running businesses. And you know, they've got enough of an ego. They don't want to work for somebody else, but yet, you know, that's probably what the best thing they could do would be to work for somebody else, and everybody would succeed. But the, you know, like I said, we were talking on the phone, you know, last time I talked to you, you know, about New England, you know, we're just weird up here versus the rest of the country. We're just weird.
Yeah, the amount of snow, I think that does that to you, because you get cabin fever like none other. I mean, how many sporting events can you watch, and how much Netflix can you watch, and then you're like, oh, I got to go outside. I got to go somewhere.
Well, it was, you know, it's weird because it got cool here the other day, you know, when everybody's bundled up and complaining about it. And I'm saying, you know, but if this was a, you know, a 40 degree day in March, you know, we'd be out in shirt sleeves chopping the ice off our driveways saying, oh my God, isn't this the greatest weather we've ever had, you know? And so everything's relative, you know. In September, a 40 degree day is lousy. And in March, a 40 degree day is like, you know, I mean, I remember last year at one point, it was so cold for so long that it got up to 19 degrees one day, and we were walking around in shirt sleeves because it had warmed up to 19. You know, it was a warm spell because it hadn't gotten above 5 degrees for like 10 straight days.
Oh, yeah. Craziness, nuttiness. Yeah. All right, I love this conversation. This is great. Tony, you're a character. Tony Joyce, Joyce Heating there in Nashville. You're in Nashville, right? You're in New Hampshire.
Yeah, we're in Nashville, New Hampshire. For those who listen to WSMN, you know, we know both know George, who's a great guy. You know, the phone up here is 603-882-4244, or we're on the web at joycecool.com. Get my little plug in for the WSMN listeners. But it's an interesting place up here.
I think it's an interesting place too. We'll have to say hey when we come up there. We're going to be up there, I think, with this whole election season. So I'll look for you up there.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye bye.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.